Welcome to the podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together the message and a taste of the music that we experience each Sunday morning as we root our lives in grace through worship here at The Table. More and more people are finding their way to The Table through this podcast, so if you are one of the many, many folks who tune in each week from other parts of California, other parts of our country, or even from other places in the world, we would invite you to take a next step in growing in faith here at The Table. You can do that online at our website, thetableumc.org. There you'll find links to social media and also a way to make a deep commitment to our community to express how you hope to root your life in grace, to grow in faith, to reach in love, and to give generously. If you're one of the many people listening to this but haven't quite walked through the door of the sanctuary yet on a Sunday morning, we would love to welcome you into the beauty of this sanctuary. We gather each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and at 11. Our address is 5265 H Street in East Sacramento.
And let all who toil, let them come to the water. And let all who are weary, let them come to the Lord. All who labor without rest, how can your soul find rest except for the Lord? And let all the poor, let them come to the water. Bring the ones who are laden, bring them all to the Lord. Bring the children without might, easy the load and light, except for the Lord. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
This water is where those men heaved and hauled their nets until love came to town and called those men to even harder work for less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on these waters and then sank and was rescued, thus setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria where Jesus chatted, unchaperoned, with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came out of his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
And this is also the water that he used to cut the wine at his very last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used when he washed both his hands and he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
And this is the tomb from which Christ blasted. And this is the opening. And this is the way.
This is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are destroyed. This is the water that reminds us of who we are and whose we are.
Dana Ruby, Elizabeth Rose, Faith Giovanna, Ella Jane, Delilah Christine,
Remy Jean, Alexandra Rose,
Leona Richelle, Aubrey Michelle, Araya Lucia, Diana Catherine, Cormac Nolan, Michaela Genevieve,
Sienna Marie,
Colby Evelyn, Brian Michael, Elijah Edward, Gia Jeanette, Christina Susan, I baptize you in the name of the Creator,
in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer,
and in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer.
The Holy Spirit, work within you, that being born of water and Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Wash me, wash me, wash me. Let me rest in you. Let me flow.
It's exciting to be here, and I love this chatter. And I love it when our children go from not speaking to, will they ever speak, to, shh, stop speaking. It's all right. It's really all right. I'm going to share a short message with us. And I want folks to be able to see both the screens, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the scripture that Matt read. Maybe you remember it before all the drumming. It's one that we commonly refer to as the greatest commandment. Not everyone's heard of that before, but it's a passage that might sound familiar to some of us. In it, a Pharisee, who is a person who has studied great lengths in the law, asked to Jesus, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'd like to say that seems pretty straightforward. It seems that way. But in a day and age in which a commercial like the one you're about to see has to air, maybe it's not so straightforward. Let's watch. That commercial had to air this week on a news station that will remain nameless. The idea seems simple enough. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. And I think it is simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Often it seems to me as though Jesus is saying apple, and people are saying banana, 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 right? And I don't mean to equate faith with facts, but I do mean to say that we come to understanding our call to love God and love our neighbor and love ourselves. All of us come to that understanding in very different ways. There were actually, in case you didn't know, which, why should you, 614 rules in the Old Testament about how you were supposed to love God, okay? So that's why this Pharisee, who would have known all 614 rules backwards and forwards, was asking the question, which is the greatest? He was disciplined, he was faithful. And he believed deeply that all of those 614 rules were really important disciplines that enabled them, their people of that day, to stay in love with God. And what they're doing is testing Jesus in public and trying to trip him up. And somehow by asking which commandment is the greatest, Jesus is quoting here to them Judaism's most fundamental, ancient, and widely recited Bible passage. They called it the Shema. And in quoting the Shema, Jesus points out that the posture of the law is to orient one's life towards God. And then Jesus adds that one cannot love God. You can't orient your life that way without loving what God loves, right? And how God does that loving. See, God loves all of creation, and our invitation that we're hearing is to do so as well, without question. And Jesus takes something that's really complicated and simplifies it by boiling the 614 down really to two, both of which really are about one thing, love. Love. And I just want to give us a really quick lesson on love, translated here in the Bible, in the book of Matthew. The word we hear as love, in this case, in Greek, there it is up there, is agape. And to be sure, there is something unique about the Christian understanding of love for God, neighbor, self. And we discover it here in the New Testament. And at the same time, the author of the Gospel of Matthew was in like the same situation as any of us might find ourselves in if we were trying to write to a certain audience. Because in Greek, like in English, there was and is no single word with an inherent meaning that refers exclusively to the kind of love with which God loves the world and with which Christians are commanded to love God, each other, ourselves, and our neighbors. Agape is the writer of Matthew's attempt to express it. And I just want to be clear that neither he nor Jesus nor any of those Christians of the day nor any that have come since invented this word. It was commonly used, just like we use it. I love having employment. That is very good, right? I love working out, doing CrossFit. I love my children. I love the color blue. I love my lover. It's the same word. And can I assume that most of us in the room understand that the love we have for our lover is different than the color blue love, right? Right, right? And that is different than how we love our children? Why is that even important? It's important because when Christians use the word love with reference to God, it points to the deepest of our human relationships. And it points to what I want to call the posture in which we are called to exercise, Christians are called to exercise in the world. Just a quick show of hands if you've ever done yoga, just so I know who I'm talking to. Oh, this is good. Okay. So, if you haven't, it's okay, but those of us who've done yoga know that you need a mat, okay? And you always begin yoga on your mat. Everything happens on your mat. And you begin usually, almost always, with something called mountain pose. And mountain pose goes like this, but it's not just like this, because you begin with your knees over your ankles, and then your hips over your knees, and then your shoulders have to go over your hips. And then your arms go down, and your palms go forward, and then you're open. And you're balanced on your mat. And why is that important? Because then you're ready to move in whatever direction your yogi instructor tells you to go next. So given a posture for Christians of love in the world, the greatest commandment tells us that the world, the whole world, is our mat. And that every one of our moves on that mat are to be in love. It's all about the loves. This morning we begin with baptism, and then we're going to move to renewing our baptism and sharing our deep commitments. Baptism, Christian baptism, marks and celebrates that love. God's unconditional love and grace through water and the Spirit. And we baptize children who are too young to answer for themselves because we want to raise them in that love. In that love from the very beginning. And we baptize teenagers and adults who are ready to answer for themselves because we want to celebrate God's forever yes to their whole being. And together with those of us who have already been baptized, which is a lot of us in this room, but not everyone, we all celebrate our own belovedness of what we've already done or what was done on our behalf as members of God's household, of God's forever family. And this is what it looks like right here, right now in this room. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And because we are also called to love our neighbor, that is why we share our deep commitments. And whether you're someone in this room who considers the table your spiritual home, or whether you're visiting for the very first time, or whether you are here to support people who are being baptized, right? I encourage everyone to take some time, either in worship or later in this day, to consider how you want to be a follower of Jesus. There's a form in your worship folder, or you can do it from your phone online. And there are some questions. How are you going to root your life in grace? How do you want to grow in faith this year? How will you practice spiritual disciplines to stay in love with God? Please don't put 614 down, because I have to type all this in. You know, two is good. How do you plan to be a generous giver of all of your money and wealth that God has given you? We invite you to write this down. And that's when the challenge comes, right? You can feel it already. The resistance that just reared in our bodies. And I don't claim to know what your resistance is. I just know that it resides there in most of us. You're going to have to look at that. Because we all need to love, and we all need to be loved. It's that simple, but it's not really easy. Because the way each of us experiences life in the mystery of God's unfolding grace is unique and beautiful. And that's why we're in this worship series we're calling Zoe, which means life. Life in Christ, life in its other fullness. Even that word looks beautiful to me. I know I'm in a beauty moment here, gushing. But just even the way Greek was written is beautiful. And you are beautiful. And making a deep commitment can just be as beautiful, as simple as that. Because you want to go and take your next step in following God's call to love and be loved. Jesus says, love God and love neighbor. These beautiful people all around us, but especially these in front, are about to come to the waters to say yes to this love. God says yes, and they say yes. All of us are called to go deeper into the loves. And God says love, and we say yes back, because what we know is that all means all. And when I'm saying this to you right now, what I just said, all means all, some of us in this room are hearing banana, banana, banana. I know it's true. It's okay, Dina Ruby. And they're going to try, the people who hear banana, to limit God's love and to say that God's love is only for those who believe in the Bible in a certain kind of a way, or it's only for those who play a certain type of music, or for those who have everything figured out, or for those who love a certain person in a certain kind of way. Banana, banana, banana. We say that God sees us and loves us just for who we are, and there is nothing anyone can do about that. So we have something to share, just a little surprise up here on the screen. Matt's been working on filmmaking, but we paid someone to do this. I love you, but you know, you could go to school for this. It's our way. It's a small gift, because our hope is for those who hear banana, 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 that this is the apple, right? And that you will, on your social media, share it too. Let's watch together. And the people said, Amen.
I could just sit. I could just sit and wait for all your goodness. Hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you. Hope to feel something again. And I could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home. Never.